Well, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you are with us, Lord. And we just pray, Father, that we would get ourselves out of the way and that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're going to talk about the making of Satan's Eden. Now, before I begin this morning, I want to read a scripture for you because some think that I might be too hard last week in condemning this end time perversions and those at the forefront of this agenda of perversions. But let me just say this. I'm not the one who was crucified. I'm not the one who thousands of people said, crucify him, crucify him. I'm not the one who even had 100 or even dozens, okay? So I'm not the one who was crucified for what I said. Now, Jesus was crucified for the things he said, not the things he did. They didn't crucify him for the healings. They didn't crucify him for the resurrection of people from the dead. They didn't crucify him for, you know, all the different miracles. They crucified him for his message, okay? And so I'm just staying with what he said, and I don't care if I mention some names. I'll get into that later in the sermon because, you know, we know that Moses and Paul and Jesus and Peter and John, they all called names, okay? And they did it with a purpose in mind, and that was to give the people an optic to look at, which was anti, okay? So that they would not go in that direction. Now, with that said, Jeremiah 23:29, God says to Jeremiah, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Well, you know, if I'm up here just tickling your ear and saying sweet things about you and how lovely everybody in the world is, oh, I just love everybody. I don't love everybody. I'm sorry. I hate what God hates, and I love what God loves. And God loves his word, and I love his word, okay? So don't get on my case because I say some things about, you know, three politicians and two televangelists, okay? Now, I rest my case, okay? I can't say enough to speak against the end time perversions. And for those who would want to protect these people, all I can say is shame on you. The Bible says that they will either accuse or excuse, okay? Romans 2:15. We show the works of the law written in their heart. Now remember, the law is the Torah, and that means the Father's instruction. So we show the work of the law written in their hearts, their consciences, though, although also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing. That's the righteous, you know, like we see it every time and every day. For the word will judge in the last days. Or else accusing, and that is the unrighteous, and they're accusing one another. So they're accusing one another as well. They're, you know, you bring up things about somebody from 20, 30 years ago, forget it. You know, the person was a different person back then, but you bring up somebody that did some a few years ago, that's a different story, okay? So Abraham's covenant confirmed. He said, talk about modern Sodom when 30% of the increase of perverts last year in sexual affairs, that's 30%. In 1 year, 30% in 1961. And last year, sexual affairs. I get letters from mothers out here on the coast to their own boys who take boys and go and live with them in the room. Now, Brother Bram said that back then. They were started crying. Poor old mothers for their children. Why? It's a disgrace. Somebody's got to call it out. Repent or perish, right? Back to God, pitiful, God be merciful. Now, I'm not excusing the rest of the world. The whole world is that way. But you're just rolling here, tumbling everywhere. As I said, we used to have to go over to Paris, but Hollywood furnishes them their fashions now. Our women's got so bad till they have to send their fashions over to Paris to show them some eye-openers. Good, my goodness, how it is. And that's brought right into our Pentecostal churches. That's what I was saying. We had two Pentecostal ministers who were caught in affairs. All right? And so I called them out. God have mercy, it's shameful. Repent or perish. That's right. Get out of those kind of things. Now, need I say any more? If you have the mind of God, you will condemn that kind of living. If you don't have the mind of God, you make excuses for them. So get the mind of God and start laying it where it belongs. From is your life worthy of the gospel? They made excuses in the days of Moses. They made excuses in the days of Elijah. They made excuses in the days of Christ. And they make excuses today. Look, Elijah had to take on the 400 prophets of Baal. All right? Moses took on the entire kingdom of Egypt. My goodness, if we can't take on this world, I don't know what kind of a person we ought to be. I mean, what kind of a Christian we claim to be. They find excuses and they turned it down and went into judgment. Just as Jesus said, they stoned and killed the prophets that sent them by making excuses. So they're making excuses is actually what stoned the prophets. Okay, that's crucifying Jesus Christ afresh today. From is your life worthy of the gospel? Now, Jesus here is saying man has always tried to make excuses not to receive God's word of his invitation. Though it be firmly proven to them that it's his supper and his invitation, but man is constantly making excuses, okay? And from why? He says, so many people say, I just got to sin. I just got to have a smoke. Women say, I just got to cut my hair. I can't get any clothes. I just have to wear what they got. You know what's the matter? They're making excuses. So right now, I'm saying, stop it. And start, if you're going to make excuses for the Word of God. In other words, start saying the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, talking the Word of God, okay? Now, Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What you say, how is the Godhead visible to everybody? Listen. Every man has a son or has a child, right? Well, doesn't God have children? Doesn't Satan have children? I mean, the Godhead, there's a father and a son. There has to be, or the whole world won't clearly say it, okay? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, look. It is very apparent that these are not Christian people, but the enemy of Christ. They mock him, they defy him, and you think that we should be sweet to them? I detest them. Now, I hope, again, I'm not talking too tough for you, but I detest everything about them so much that I want to get out of here, okay? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and I hope all of you do too, okay? So making excuses for their behavior, the Bible says you are a fool, and you say, no, I'm a virgin to Christ. So were the foolish virgin, and they were foolish. In times, it's time that you love what God loves and you hate what God hates. So do not think more highly of them than you ought to think. You can only be a foolish virgin. Now, if it were a matter of those people just not believing the same doctrine but living a Christian life, then I wouldn't lift a finger in judgment. I just say they just don't understand, but that's fine. I wouldn't even mention their names because it's not worthy to mention their names. But the fact that they despise the cross ought to wake you up that this is the end time. And if you make excuses for them, then you are guilty of complicity with their end time perversions. It's time you detest everything that they stand for. I detest everything that these politicians stand for, these reprobate politicians, okay? And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between them. You see that? That's God saying that right in the Bible. Okay? That's God saying it. Who gave them up? God gave them up to their own mind. And there is a way that seems right to man, and it's the way of death. Now back to Romans 1:25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. They're calling God a liar. And worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. All you had to do was look at the Olympics this year and they had a bunch of people dressed in tights running around and people were worshiping the creature. If just filthy homosexual agenda. For this cause, God gave them up unto a vile affection for their For even their women did change unnatural use into that which is against nature. I don't have to say more. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. Now, do I have to even say anything more about it? I hope I don't. But who gave them up? God did. Don't tell me that your compassion for a reprobate is greater than God's compassion. Compassion is doing the will of God. Brother Bram said, be not afraid. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I can. That's the Son. The Son does nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. That's compassion. Compassion is to follow the will of God, not human sympathy, but compassion. So get rid of your human sympathy before it casts you into hell. That's all I'm saying. All right. Oh, it's two different words altogether, sympathy and compassion. So is appearing and coming. And Brother Ram said the same thing about that. It's two different words. See, if it wasn't, Jesus sure made a rude mistake when he did that, see? Again, from looking for Jesus, he said, people don't know what compassion is. Compassion and love is the will of God, and you can only exercise that as God gives it to you. Not a human emotion or passion, not emotional love, but divine love, which can only be rendered and given by God. And from this day, the scripture is fulfilled. Now, how do you think that they had them things against him? Another thing, that he would not join any of their ranks. Then you see that it still made him a bad person. He wouldn't join their organization, wouldn't join their priesthood, and he wouldn't have nothing to do with it. Look, thousands of people flocked the streets and said, crucify him, crucify him. Not 100, not 12, not even one. Thousands. For what did he do? Heal the sick, raise the dead, do all these miracles, walk on water? No, for what he said. For what he said. And then besides all that, he tried to tear down what they built up. He went into the temple. They called him a mean man. He was, but many times we misunderstood. They called him a meek man. He was, but many times we misunderstand what meekness is. He was a man of compassion, but yet we fail to sometimes understand that compassion is. Not the human sympathy isn't compassion, but compassion is doing the will of God. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So these men are manifested, they're the optics of God's manifestation of their hate for God in their flesh. You see that? And if you are okay with that, with what they have done, you have a reprobate mind. And I feel very sorry for your state of mind, because God hates those who are lukewarm, and he will spew them out of his mouth. He didn't say you're hot, didn't say you're cold. He said you're lukewarm. You're just fuzzy, okay? So he spews you out of his mouth, which is his word. In other words, your stand will become anti-word. With that said, let's just read from Satan's Eden, and we'll pick up paragraph 49. Now we find out that every seed bringeth forth of his kind. There was no death in the new in that Eden. There will be no death in the new Eden. See, there was nothing else but holiness, purity, and eternal love. And see, anything that doesn't meet that standard, you can have my permission to say you hate it. Now you're not hating the person. You're hating the evil that eschews from that person, okay? Now, by unbelief in all of God's word has brought the seed of unholiness in Satan's Eden. We are now entering in where Satan is taking the throne as the Antichrist in an Eden of this earth, an Eden of sin, perverted sin. We are the generation that gets to see it all, and we don't like what we're seeing. Do you realize that in many ways, we are already resurrected in Christ Jesus. But you realize in many ways, we also have descended into hell for 3 days like he did. Because this is pure hell. This is the epitome of the fifth dimension. Now notice he is talking about two things here. One, he is talking about Satan's Eden and says we are now entering into Satan's Eden. And two, he shows us how that we've entered into Satan's Eden. And he says now, by unbelief in all of God's word has brought the seed of unholiness in Satan's Eden. So all this perversion that's taking place in the world is a result of the seed of Satan's Eden in their hearts. And this shows us that that is in the seed. All seeds are beginning to manifest what is in them. God's sons are becoming sons, and it is manifesting what seeds they are, sons of God. And Satan's Eden, or Satan's seed, are beginning to manifest Satan in his seed. And what I was condemning last week is a manifestation of Satan's seed. Notice he is telling us how Satan's Eden becomes manifested. I have already preached to you showing that if the kingdom of God is within you, his Holy Spirit is manifesting Holy Spirit life. And the Holy Spirit, the holy life, is manifesting in God's seeds. Then if the kingdom of God is within you, we also see the kingdom of Eden, or Satan's Eden, which is his kingdom, is within the people as well. It's within them to be. Look, they don't just go out and steal because they felt like stealing. They didn't become a thief because they stole. They were a thief because they were a thief, they stole. In other words, they manifested what's in them. All right. So too, Satan's Eden is also in his people. He can only pervert. So in order to bring Satan's Eden into a manifested reality, he has to incarnate his people to manifest his life in them. So when you see an evil person, don't say, well, he's a potential Christian one day. Hogwash, he's an evil person. He's got the seed of Satan in him, all right? You see, I don't believe that, you know, every Muslim in the world we can convert to Jesus. I believe there's serpent seed. I believe there's a serpent seed and a seed of God. And I believe the serpent seed is many more of the children of the harlot than she which has a husband. All right? I'm not one of these, well, let's win everybody. Let's win them all to Jesus. You can't do it. You can try and try and try and you'll never do it. You might win them to your church. And that's what all these preachers are doing, but they're not winning them to Christ. Of the 2 million people that follow the message today, I would say there's maybe a few hundred in the world who actually believe the message of the day. A lot of people say, oh, believe the prophet, believe the prophet, believe the prophet. And then they go off on there's no fivefold ministry and oh, there's a two souls and there's seven thunders and all this other kind of nonsense. They don't believe the word. All right. Now, Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Many as are led by the Spirit of God. What's the Spirit of God? It's the Word. God's Spirit, his Word. He says, my Word is my Spirit, okay? For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that's why you have such a hard time living in Satan's Eden, because let's face it, your spirit is identifying with the word so much that you just can't take any more of this perversion around you. I'm just not an old man that had a stroke. I'm a son of God who's fed up. Okay? Now, the spirit, and there is only one the spirit, and that is God's spirit. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And what is the spirit and what is God's spirit? He said, my words are my spirit and my truth. Therefore, the spirit, the word, bears witness with our spirit. Hallelujah. There you go. All right. So how are you going to do all this perversion and say, well, I'm identified with God. I'm a Christian. No, you're not. You're a son of the devil. Oh, you say you shouldn't use words like that. John did. Jesus did. Jesus said, you seed of vipers. That's serpents. Oh, no, we got God for our father. We're born of Abraham. He said, you're Abraham's children, but you hate me, the word incarnate. Why do you do it? Because there's no place for the word in you. All right. And if children of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, that word glorified is endoxazo. And so we're looking at God's values, his opinions, his judgments are magnified in our bodies. We have become the written word known among all men. Now, I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, the doxa, the opinion, values, and judgment of God, which shall be revealed or manifested in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. So we see that it is all about the seeds that have been sown in the earth. They are all coming to manifestation of what life is in them. God's seeds will manifest God life, and Satan's seed will manifest Satan life. And they're doing it everywhere. It's no mystery. I had a revelation. No, it's just open your eyes. He started, Brother Branham says, he started not upon, I am Satan, I am that great angel. No. Not upon that, but upon perverting God's word. And that's how he's brought his kingdom in every age. So if the evidence that you are God's seed is in you, you will know that this day and this message. And then the evidence that you are not God's seed, but serpent's seed, is your rejection of the day and its message. Now, let's just find some Bible evidence for this. In John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So how are you going to change that? They don't believe, they're condemned, period. They're condemned, period. All right? They're condemned, period. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light. Because why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Listen, there's not a good thing you can do for God. You can talk sweet, 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 and so do the Pharisees, and so do the kind old priest. It's not what you do, it's what he did. Okay? Another evidence is 1 John 3:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. That's why I say when a certain person gets in office and they just, they believe this guy and they believe that guy. Listen, don't believe anybody that's in politics. They're in there because they're liars. Don't believe them. Choose your own people. Okay, so how are we going to test the spirit in men? He tells us, hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Okay, so if you are God, your confession, if you are of God, your confession is that of God's confession. His doxa is in you. You have his mindset, and you say what he says. Then, if that be so, then to not say what he says shows there is no doxa in you. Okay? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God hears us. And he that is not of God hears us not. Neither knoweth we this. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What's the spirit of truth? You're going to hear God and his people that are saying what he says. What's the spirit that's not of the truth? Well, you won't believe what they say. Now, it can't get any plainer than that. If you love God and His word, you repeat His word to others. But if you do not love God and nor His word, you won't speak it to others. You will just speak what they are speaking. And how do we know that? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So men will naturally speak what is in their hearts. That's what God's word told us. And it's just that simple. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth not. Listen, get this out of your thinking that love is, oh, I'm sweet, 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 sweet. No. Brother Vail took me outside. He says, I'm going to show you what love is. I said, oh, this is going to be great. And then he hits me right in the arm, you know, like punched me right in the arm. He started crying, and I didn't cry because of the punch, because I grew up, my brother's punching me in the arm, you know, but I cried because looking at his face and seeing this old man and seeing how rejected he was, and he's teaching me this principle. Now he said, did Lee Vail do that or did God? Now if God placed it in his heart to tell me he's going to teach me on love with an illustration, that was God, because I certainly learned my lesson. Love is not about being sweet, 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 sweet. You might think, oh, this brother's so sweet and this brother's not so sweet, so he's got more of God than he's got. No, that's hogwash. We all have a part of God, a seed of God. I remember the first time I met Brother Vail. I mean, actually not the first time, but the first time I went out to see him. And we sat up talking at night. And Brother Vail and I would say, well, what about this brother? Well, this brother, and I won't say the words he used, but, and this brother, and, you know, so, you know, and I just went to bed, laid in my bed, and I said, Lord, how can he be so crusty, so crusty, and yet there's so much light and life in him. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, which one of my prophets weren't crusty? And then I began to look at Samuel. Oh, Samuel, oh, isn't lovely love. No, Samuel took Agag's sword and he hacked him all to pieces. Now, if I were to do that, you know, then, boy, you'd really spout your mouth off. But if God told me to do that, you better watch out. Okay? In other words, look, Jesus took a whip. Son of God took a whip and he drove him out of the house of God. Oh my, those guys were just trying to do a service for people that, you know, wanted to have a sacrifice. You know, he was a sacrifice. Moses, they tried to stone him. Which one of the prophets wasn't an angry old man? You know, Elisha, well, he was younger than Elijah. And some kids started mocking him for his bald head. You know what he did? He cursed him. And you know what? God honored it. And that she-bear ate those 40 children. Ate them up. Killed them. Oh, God wouldn't do that. God did that. Who do you think? The devil did that? Now, come on. We don't mess around. He's a gracious father, but he's also a ruthless judge. He's going to judge righteously. Then the Apostle John tells us in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us because, but they were not of us. But if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued on with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So we see there must come a time of separation in order to fully manifest whose seed is whose. God's going to remain. Listen, I can show you some quotes that I sent out last week. Three quotes in particular. Brother Branham said, God's not coming for the big church. He said, the churches, they're big, there's many people. But he said, the bride is few in number. Amen. Another place said, the bride will be made up of a small church. Small in number. Get this idea that everybody in the message loves God. They don't. They hate God. They hate God. I'm telling you, they hate God. Or they would love this word. They'd love the doctrine, Brother Bram, but they won't touch it. Not with a 5-foot pole. Not with a 10-foot pole. And you can't make excuses for the reprobate and be a son of God. You are complicit in their sin, which is unbelief. You say, well, I won't name names. Well, William Branham did. He called out Ricky and, Nelson and Elvis Presley and Pat Boone and Red Foley for being modern day Judas Iscariot. I think that is naming names. You say, oh, that'll hurt their reputation. Who cares? Who cares? It's the truth. Well, I could talk nice and say the devil, well, he's a good adversary. Yeah, hogwash. He might be a good adversary. Like Trump says, you know, he talks about Chinese premier minister. He says, well, you know, he's a very brilliant man. And people think, well, see, he loves a man because he called him brilliant. No, a man can be brilliant. He's got a billion and 500 million people following him. He ruthlessly does it. But he's smart about how he does it because he's got them all under control. So he is a smart man. He is a brilliant man. But what difference does that make? He's still an evil person. And that's what Trump was saying. He's still an evil person, even though he might be smart, even though he might be brilliant. The Apostle Peter called out Ananias and Sapphira. The Apostle John called out Hymenaeus and Alexandrus. John the Baptist called out Herod and Herodias, his wife. Moses called out Dathan, Abiram, and Korah. God called out Jannes and Jambres and Balaam. You want me to name some more names? We can go through the Bible and do a study. Probably come up with a whole lot more. Now, in this great deceitful age, Brother Brown says, ready to take his throne by his people. He's built himself an intellectual, educated, scientific Eden. That's right. And of course, fakey, Mr. Fakey, Dr. Fakey, he says, well, I am the science. So believe the science. In other words, believe me, you are a liar. Paul called it science so-called. It's pseudo. Scientific preachers, Brother Bram says. Scientific church. Scientific theology. Everything is scientific. You know, this last episode of World Control that you heard so much, believe the science. In fact, as I mentioned, one man, he says, I am the science. Yet he's a liar and guilty of the AIDS epidemic. Did you know he's guilty of the AIDS epidemic? Did you know in 1980 he was actually, he took the work of one woman and she she actually found the virus that was causing AIDS. Fauci took credit for it. And then he said, well, we got the cure. And he made a poison so that it killed a whole bunch of people. Yeah, he did that, okay? So he also did the last pandemic. And through these two, he has killed more people than Pol Pot. Can you imagine that? Killed more people than Mao Zedong. Killed more people than Joseph Stalin. Combined! Millions of people. And then when you show them what you thought that science was telling you, you were told, the head of our health department, Mr. Fakey, says, I am the science, so we got to believe him. I don't know if you can see it, but this is Satan's Eden when he has incarnated men with his science, which is fake science by a doctor named Mr. Fakey. It doesn't get more ironic than that. God gave him the name at birth. He calls it Fauci, like people call Target, you know, Target, Target. Oh, it's Target. It's like the old joke about, well, you know, is it Rathalay or Rathalee? Oh, I don't know, Rathole. Is it Rathalay or Rathalee? You know, got to have your real big thinking. And then one of Levon's cousins says to her other cousin, well, where we're from, it's called Rat Hole. So call him Fakey or Fauci, he's a rat hole, okay? Everything's on the basis of knowledge. The whole church is built upon knowledge. It ain't built upon faith. Now he's going to give us an example of this. One time I went in to hold a meeting in a man's church. It was a great auditorium in the West. A fine man. And he denied these things that we're talking about. So how was he a fine man? Well, he wore a nice suit. He talked very nice, although he had to take a cigarette break. But he's a fine man. Talked nice. Oh, sister, you're just so lovely. But Brother Bram said, and denied these things that we're talking about. That makes him serpent seed. That makes him antichrist. Yes, he was. I like him. Fine man, old man. Now we see, we've already been giving you the evidence of being of God or of Satan, as John taught us. But it sounded like Brother Branham liked the guy, you know, his personality. He said he was fine. He was a real nice man, but there was a flaw in his personality. There was no evidence of the word in him. And being a fine man and a nice man just places him with men like Judas and Esau. Esau was better to his daddy than Jacob was. But if you're born of God, it's all word upon word upon word. When you get off of the word, you're off into Satan's Eden. When his congregation went out, it seated about 6,000 people. In other words, the scripture says many more are the children of the harlot than she which has a husband. So the size is no clue that they are even in the faith. In fact, he lets you know that the more you got, that in itself is evidence, shows the motive of the people is not to hear the word. They are there to see something else. And unless you are a prophet of God with signs and wonders, they are there for the fishes and the loaves and not the word of God. And that shows that they are not looking for the truth. Even Brother Branham questions the motives of the hordes of people attending his own healing campaigns. He said, Lord, if they are here to see me and not you, they are lost. Can you imagine going to see Brother Branham and you're lost? Can you imagine going to, or not even going, just sitting in your car and listening to a tape and you're lost? Huh? Oh, but they're listening to a tape. Yeah, Satan knows the word. He quotes the word. But they're still lost. He's lost. In fact, the Bible says Satan is a believer. You know what says that? It says he believed and he trembles. Satan's a believer and he trembles. Okay? Now back to Satan's Eden, where it said, when his congregation went out in the afternoon service, about 1,500, they were all fine-dressed intellectuals. I sat there and I watched them. John 6:21 says, then they willingly received him in the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Now, let me just back up a little bit. He said they were fine intellectuals. You want me to tell you other things he said about the intellectual? Brother Branham was not praising these 1,500 people. That's 1,500 people, he said, are intellectuals. But they're dressed nice intellectuals. Hope I don't have to say more. So the day following what? Following the day he multiplied breads and fishes and fed 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. Now we'll go back to 64:21. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following the feeding of the loaves, when the people there which stood on the side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias, neither unto the place where they did eat bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took in shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Okay? So this sounded pretty good. But what was their motive for seeking him? That's the question. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, and said unto him, Rabbi, whence camest thou? In other words, they said, when did you get here? And what did Jesus reply? He said, I know why you sought me out. You wanted another free meal. Now listen, we just read up here, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum. Where did these people come from? They came from boats from Tiberias. Neither did they eat bread. So they heard about it, though, and they wanted bread, too. You see? And Jesus says, I know why you followed me here, because you want a meal. Jesus answering them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. Then he rebuked them because of their motives were wrong. He said, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man giveth you unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? And he said, he wants to do this thing. We want to do this thing that you did. What can we do? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That is all that is required of you, is to believe that one God, the one whom God has sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we might believe thee and believe thee? And what work doest thou? In other words, your words are not enough. We want to see miracles. And so in the case of the thousand that came to seek the words, to seek the works of God, worked in Brother Branham's ministry, and all the men who claimed to be faith healers, Brother Branham even questioned God about the people's motives when he saw all the people coming to his own ministry. And he said, who are these people coming to see? If they are coming to see me, they are still in their sins. But if they're coming to see God, then that is the difference. But notice what Jesus said to what the people said to Jesus. And just like Satan did before Jesus in the garden, they misapplied scripture for their own benefit. What did Satan do? His thoughts were on bread. If thou art the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. You see? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now that shows that they had the wrong motive, and Jesus had to call them out correctly. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not bread from heaven, not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. He continued, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. He was just saying to them, look, I'm here. I'm here. And they, but give us this bread. Their minds were still thinking of stuff you can, fill your belly with. Now, they're still not getting it. And they're thinking of what Moses did, feeding them food. What Jesus did, feeding them food. So Jesus has to be very specific with them. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that you have also seen me and believe not. So he knew the multitude that was gathered had a wrong motive in their heart. And let's face it, he knows your real motive for seeking after him. And then he says it's all about election and who is doing the electing. It's God is. He says, all the Father has given me shall come to me. And in him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And then he tells them God's plan, his will. He says, and this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise up at the last days. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So notice what their response to God's plan is. They murmured at him. He gave them the word, and they murmured at him. They wanted bread. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And not only did they murmur at him because he was going to do what they wanted, but just like they believed the sign guys, they began to call him names. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he saith, I come down from heaven? And Jesus said, what I have is not for you. It's not for those, it's only for those my Father has chosen. And Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur among yourselves, No man can come to me except my Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now let's skip to where I want you to see that this story is all about. All right, Jesus says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Now just think of that. He knew what they were thinking and he knew who would betray him and he knew who would not believe. What a great burden he must have bore. And he said, therefore I said unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. So what word am I going to say to you that's going to cause you to walk no more with Jesus? So he rebuked them for having a wrong motive and repenting and not repenting, actually. Instead of taking their rebuke and correcting their motives, they would rather separate themselves from the author of eternal life. And how many people left the church because I spoke about parent delinquency or something that they were doing that was sin? I might not even know that they were doing it, but they did it and they were sinning. Then saith Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you would have thought that Jesus would have just wiped his brow and said, that was a close one. I'm glad that some of you believe. No, he didn't really care what they believed. He said, Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? How would you like to have Jesus talk to you and a group of people that you're with? Now, I know one church where the poor people in that church who can't keep up with the Joneses congregate on one side of the parking lot. But those who are wealthy congregate on the other side. Now that is a real separation, but it's based on the world and not based on the word. It's based on class. He preached a very good sermon, he says. The man did. And then he asked if anybody wanted to accept Christ just to raise up their hand. And no one raised up their hand. Till finally a woman raised up her hand. He said, all right, now you're a Christian, and made her ready for baptism. You see, the Bible said that they would have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And notice we are commanded by God to stay away from them. And then he went out, he dedicated a baby, kissed a little baby, made a prayer over it, and dismissed the audience. When his congregation went out, all fine, scholarly, educated people, then I was standing on the side to shake the man's hand, wishing him Godspeed, and he went out. And when he did, here come my crowd in. They couldn't let them in while his crowd was in there. Here come mine in wheelchairs and stretchers and straitjackets and insane and everything else. You see the difference? That's it. That's the thing I'm talking about. See, it's something different. So he is not saying his people were such that they were all sick and ill, but that his people had come to see the word come alive, expecting the word to heal them. So you see the two differences, the two different kinds of people. We're looking at twins. One was a churchy, and as such came to church there to be seen, while his group came to see the word in manifestation. When by scientific knowledge you can make understanding of the gospel, he that believeth on Jesus Christ shall not be condemned, see, but these signs shall follow them that believe. See, he fails to put that in there. See, she believed on Jesus Christ. She's saved if these signs follow the believer. From Christ is a mystery. He said, they said, I just got to do it. Brother Branham says, she believed on Jesus Christ, she's saved. Now he's quoting this man. And Brother Branham said, if these signs follow the believer. Well, what if you say, well, Brother Branham did them all, so we don't have to do the signs. You're not saved yet. You're not saved yet. You have to believe God to do signs in your life. From Christ the mystery said, they said, we received the Holy Ghost when we believed. The Bible said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? There's a difference, see? All right. That's right. See? And they said, we're the Catholic Church. We started early. We did this. The Methodists say, well, we are based on the Bible. And Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, where is it at? Uh-huh. See, that's right. The works that I do shall you do also. Every creature, every person that believes on him. Now, where is it at? That's his words. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never fail. Now, where is it at? See? Oh, it just shows. What is it? It's a hybrid condition. Notice again, he says every person. And after he mentions John 14, 12, he then asks the question, where is it at? It's supposed to be in the church. So where is it at? And he that hears my word, not just makes something, not hear with their ears, but understands it. Anybody can hear it. A prostitute can hear it and remain a prostitute. See? A drunkard can hear it. A liar can hear it and still remain a liar. But he that understands my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. There you are, see? And no man can do that except God foreordained him. Now, I hope everybody in here understands the word. I think this little group and the group overseas understand better than anyone else what this word means. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draw him, and all the Father's given me will come to me. Amen. Did he say all of God's children will be taught or shall be taught? All right. It's all the sovereignty and foreknowledge of God. He lives alone and there's nobody tells him what to do. So notice Satan brings his Eden by incarnating his seed while the kingdom of God, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. In other words, God incarnating his people. Now, by unbelief and not taking all the word of God has brought a seed of unbelief, unholy, sinful, hatred, and eternal death is in this sinful intellectual church age. Now you got it? In this day that when the whole world is religious, and we're going to get into that, I think, next week. Did you know that? The whole world is religious. And in this religious age, big churches on every corner, everything. The whole thing winds up in Satan being worshipped. Here it is, right here in the Bible, that's right. And in this intellectual theological seminary that's brought out an intellectual person that's been trained how to speak, what to do, how to make their emotion, and everything like psychology, 3 and 4 years to know how to deal with a man's mind. How I get accused of laying this on churches that are supposed to be teaching the doctrine that William Branham taught, and they are not teaching it. But when everyone who claims to believe the message ought to be teachers, they are just acting like they never left Pentecost. See, Brother Branham says, see, it's the Spirit of God is not something that is schooled into you. It's something that's predestinated into you by the hand of Almighty God. Your experiences cannot be schooled or taught into you. It's predestinated by God's hand and God's foreknowledge into you. That's right. We ought to be cherishing the deeper things of God no matter how small a church that we have. Not trying to please the people, but please our Father that we are saying what he has come down to give us to say. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we stand here, Lord. Just empty before you, knowing that if you didn't say it, we don't want to say it. But if you did say it, we will certainly, most certainly say it. And so, Father, it's not our words that bring eternal life. It's your word, your message. And you came down to do so. And so, Father, we just pray that you would bless us and help this message to go out among the people, and that everyone that hears my voice becomes manifested with your doxa, and shares it to those around them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now when I say that you might share it with everyone, use discernment. Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Share it with those you think will take another step. Don't tell them the end from the beginning. Just tell them one step at a time. When they make that step, tell them another step, and they'll be fine. God bless you all.